This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Stacey Lynn. We begin on Capitol Hill, where just in the nick of time, a budget bill passed to keep the government open. CBS's Scott McFarlane has details.
Senators came real close to the deadline this time. With just hours to spare, they've passed a partial government funding bill to keep many federal agencies and employees on the job this weekend, including agriculture, energy, and military construction programs. They still must fund the Pentagon and Homeland Security and other big-ticket items by March 22nd.
President Biden's in full campaign mode. Here's CBS's Bradley Blackburn.
The president is hitting the road. He'll be in Georgia Saturday, then Michigan and Wisconsin next week, all battleground states. And the Biden campaign is boosting resources, planning a $30 million media blitz over the next 6 weeks, opening roughly 100 field offices and more than tripling the number of staff members.
And the plan for today, President Biden will be in Atlanta while former President Trump's rally is planned in Rome, Georgia. The EU has a new maritime corridor to help get much-needed humanitarian aid into Gaza. The BBC's Weira Davis is in Jerusalem, says this is in addition to
the separate Joe Biden plan to build a temporary port facility off the coast of Gaza. That would be built by American Army engineers, but critically no American military boots on the ground. But that's 2 months away at the very least.
Six states from Louisiana to North Carolina are getting drenched. Meteorologist Chris Warren from the Weather Channel.
Damaging winds, golf ball size hail, and tornadoes possible as storms continue to track across the South.
He says some areas could see a half foot of rain. Getting ready for the Oscars.
The 96th Annual Academy Awards are set for tomorrow night on ABC. Looks like some history could be made. Lily Gladstone could be the very first Native American to win Best Actress.
You talk too much.
Martin Scorsese could set a new record for oldest director to ever win. And Colman Domingo would be the first Afro-Latino to win Best Actor.
Each of us are taught in ways both cunning and cruel that we are inadequate and complete.
Chris Hemsworth, The Rock, and Jennifer Lawrence are among the presenters, with Jimmy Kimmel hosting. Cooper Lawrence, CBS News.
And while you may not be up for an Academy Award, Shake Shack thinks we are all winners. They're hooking us up with free food, depending on how long the ceremony lasts. So if the show runs over 3 hours, 31 minutes, we all get a free Chicken Shack on Monday. And if the Oscars come in under 3 hours and 31 minutes, it's a free Smoke Shack instead. That's a bacon cheeseburger, basically. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. There aren't enough nurses in Wisconsin, but nursing instructors are warning about one particular nursing school trying to get established here. More from Mike Moan.
The Arizona College of Nursing faces scrutiny in other states over regulatory issues and claims that at least too many students saddled with debt and no career pathway. Barbara Nichols with the Wisconsin Center for Nursing encourages aspiring nurses to prioritize schools with an established track record. She says the trouble is those schools don't have enough instructors.
You can make more money working as a nurse practitioner with your master's or doctorate than teaching.
She says they hope to soon see results from a Wisconsin initiative which started 3 years ago that offers loan forgiveness for nurses who take on teaching roles. Leaders at Arizona College of Nursing argue the educational system should provide better support to these students, such as mentorship programs on campus. While obtaining a nursing degree does require some clinical training, she notes there is some flexibility for other required courses.
The schools have a combination of in-person as well as online, and that's the best. So I think you need to look for those schools that provide theory in terms of online, and then make sure they have good clinical placements.
And Nichols feels it's better to wait for an opening at a long-standing accredited program, arguing they're better suited to provide a quality nursing education. And for students who wouldn't have trouble temporarily relocating, she says it's worth it to explore programs in neighboring states. Wisconsin is graduating around 3,000 nurses each year, at least 2,000 short of what's needed. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Support for this reporting was provided by Lumina Foundation.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Monday on Nightlight, I welcome Jeopardy Master and Green Bay's own Ben Chan. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, highs in the low 40s with a chance of rain and snow. For tonight, partly cloudy and a low near 29. Sunshine, mid-40s on your Sunday. Mid-50s on Monday with sunshine. For Tuesday, partly sunny, we push into the upper 50s.
Right now, it's 28.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK. Mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
So he was down at the Greeks. There was whiskey and sunburn and tears in her cheeks. He sang me a song that was pure as the breeze and a road leading up Glenavie. I sat for a while at the Crescent Finnair where young lovers would meet when the flowers were in bloom. Heard the men coming from the fire at Chiron, the hearts in Tipperary, wherever they go. Take my hand and dry your tears, babe. Take my hand. Get your fears, babe. There's no pain, there's no more sorrow. They're all gone, gone in the years, babe.
March 9th, 2024. It's 8 o'clock on Saturday morning. It's still time for This Week in Waukesha. And in honor of Irish History Month, that was the Pogues with the Broad Majestic Shannon. And also, in honor of my daughter Jordan's 20th birthday, happy birthday, Jordan, our oldest, home this weekend from college, and really excited to celebrate with her today. We are so proud of all that you have achieved in your life and to the light you bring to all of us. Keep shining. So my guests are Angelique Byrne and Stephanie Fidlin, candidates for the school board, and we had a good question from our friend Kurt, and we didn't give Stephanie a chance to respond, if you're able. And it was about the parental rights policy. Did I get that correct?
Resolution.
Resolution. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, the current board wants to, you know, really, you know, declare a victory here with the parental rights. The reality is parents have always had rights. Parents have rights. And the things that were written in this resolution already existed in the district's policies. And, you know, what we really need is parental engagement. We need parents involved in the schools. We need them reading. These things have already been communicated out. And if you're an engaged parent, you know what your kids are, you're in the curriculum, you know what's what materials they're getting exposed to in school, and you know whether or not your student is wanting to, you know, use different pronouns or identities. And if you're an engaged parent, you already know those things. So the parental rights, to me, it's that the current board has pursued these divisive policy changes at the expense of academic performance. That's part of why our district has fallen to the lowest in Waukesha County, is because we're using our time to pursue creating things like this that already existed that really were just to marginalize certain groups of students. Again, at the cost of, I think most parents want us to get back to the nuts and bolts. They want back to the meat and potatoes, like, you know, math, reading. Like, pursuing these policies isn't forwarding our kids in what, you know, the parents, what you want from school, which is your students to have a good education and to be able to go on and get, you know, a good career or pursue secondary education or whatever they want to do. These things aren't advancing that. These things are detracting from that.
Sounds great. Hey, and again, I'm your host, Don Brown. I'm joined by Johnny on the board here in the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown. Kurt, thanks for hanging on. Do you have a follow-up question or a response to Angelique and Stephanie's responses? Can we hear him?
You hear me okay?
Yes, now we can. Yeah, thanks, Kurt. Thanks, Kurt.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. Fire away.
A little background. The reason I asked that question, as a parent of a child in the Waukesha School District, I feel for a successful educational experience, you really need to have that collaboration between the student the administration, teachers, and the parent. And I feel like this parental rights and transparency resolution, it sets those guiding principles for that to occur. And I don't see the divisiveness that you speak of, or the some of the negative connotations that you spoke about when referring to the parental resolution. It seemed like common sense items when I read through it. So I was wondering if you could provide a little bit more detail behind those comments.
Sounds great. Kurt, thanks so much for the call. And Angelique and Stephanie will give you a chance to respond. Thanks again.
Again, I think because, you know, you say that it's not divisive. It already existed. So what was, I guess, what's the point in rewriting it? Because those the collaboration has, it's already existed in our district policies, and it continues to exist in spite of this resolution. So I don't, you know, I guess I don't understand the point in creating this resolution. You know, it seems like, you know, why put the time into it when it already existed, that families are able to be involved and you know, speak to what's sure. happening in the classroom. So,
okay. Yeah, prior to this being put into place, so for example, about the curriculum, when I was working in Waukesha, we had to have everything on Blackboard. Everything sure. had to be there. Parents could come in, talk to us, see what we were doing. So it was already in place. And then just some of the wording, to inspect materials, to make sure they're not deemed harmful for students, that it's implying that that's what we're doing as educators. And sure, maybe there are some things that people do that make mistakes, but by and large, you know, that's not what's happening in schools, that people are providing things that are inappropriate or harmful or need to be inspected. So in the way it's written right now, I wouldn't vote for it. I think that sure. there's ways it could be worded differently. So it would be more encompassing of what was really happening in sure. schools.
Now, I apologize. I haven't been paying attention. Has the school district moved forward on any resolutions involved, and is it part of the parental thing with regards to banning books? What's the status on that?
As far as I know, there was a list of books that were brought last year, and 4 books were removed from the libraries.
Which ones were they?
I remember that 3 of them had to do with LGBTQ topics, and 1 had to do with race, but I don't remember the specifics. And there were some books that were moved from middle school to high school, and I think all schools should have in place something where books can be reviewed, and then there should be a very specific way that they're reviewed, with input from multiple different stakeholders.
Sure.
And then you make the decision. But as far as I know, there's not been some other large okay, undertaking yeah. to ban books.
I mentioned, because I heard that in Menominee Falls, the school district had banned Slaughterhouse-5, and I have an autographed copy from Kurt Vonnegut. I don't understand why that one in particular would be banned.
Yeah, I think in other districts around the country, you are seeing people bringing books to be banned, especially at the high school level, because there's excessive swearing or violence or what some people are saying is sexually explicit. But a lot of those books have been around for generations.
Sure.
So I that's why I think you need to have a really good policy in place for reviewing the books to make sure
sure.
it's really an inappropriate book, because if it is inappropriate, it should be removed. And there have been cases of that. And that's,
right.
you know, the way that libraries acquire books. I know the district I used to teach in, they had 15,000 books, and they ordered more than anyone could read by themselves. So, you know, maybe things could slip through the cracks, and sure. having a policy in place for that is good.
I think that's the trouble, is because it's written that, you know, if it's deemed to be, you know, offensive and obscene, well, who determines what's offensive and obscene? You know what?
Right.
You know, I have a second grader, and he says everybody's reading Five Nights at Freddy's, and I said, well, you're not, because, you know, I've yeah. seen it, and that's not appropriate for our house. So, but should, you know, what I think is appropriate, should that stand for all the families? You know what I mean? Like, who am I to say what you sure. think is okay for your kid to read?
Yeah.
So when you talk about parental rights, that's the parental engagement piece. You know, interacting, seeing what are they reading along with them. You know, I have a middle schooler. I may not read everything she's reading, but I'm asking her, you know, what are you reading? What, like, what, tell me what it's about, you know, and if she has questions about it, she comes and she talks to me. So.
And the district already has things in place where parents can see what their students are checking out from the library.
Sure.
Before that, parents always could have said, I don't want my child to check out this book.
Right.
So things were in place. So I think sometimes it's just being brought up in ways that aren't actually happening in schools, and then people are alarmed,
right?
Even though that's not the reality of the day-to-day at a school.
Sure, sure. Yeah, because I'm trying to think of what I read growing up. I mean, in sixth grade, we were reading Watership Down, in an Animal Farm, mm-hmm. which is, you know, George Orwell's indictment of Russian authoritarianism, or what they'd called communism. And I'm trying to think back to, like, what books would have been deemed controversial. There was a Judy Blume book I got for Christmas from my mom. Then again, maybe I won't, which is fantastic. But mm-hmm. there were some scenes, you know, the main character, he gets stressed out. He has these, like, stomach aches, tummy aches, and he goes to his room and he looks out his window and sees the teenage, very attractive teenage girl across the street, getting into her nightwear. And you know, and my mom, she finds this out after the fact. She's like, I can't believe I just gave you this. And, but it was, like, kind of things because I was, like, in fifth grade at the time or so, but we worked through it and we figured it out, and we understood, because, I mean, you know, kids have natural feelings or tendencies or whatever that is. And the book wasn't that, you know, revealing that it had anything of a pornographic or erotic nature. It was just mm-hmm. part of, you know, growing pains or growing up. But I think, yeah, I agree with you. It's something that, and with the caller, that parents should be engaging with the students about what and what is, but also, I think, too, and just having an open mind. Like, I think to all the different books I read Karl Marx. I think I read Mein Kampf. And I think, in college, I was reading, there was this class I took on at Cambridge on British and Irish authors. And most of them were, I think, gay or bisexual. But, like, none of those different readings converted me in any way towards, you know, communism, fascism, homosexual, whatever that is. But it was helpful to me to learn about how the other people live, or how the other people see the world, or what their experiences are. There's something to be learned from that.
Yeah, I think that's really important. Kids should be reading about people that are different from them, times that were different from now, so we can build other perspectives, so we can put ourselves in other people's shoes.
Sure.
And one of my jobs that I did was, I was the impact coordinator, and we worked to build internships and dual enrollment, but I was working closely with different companies.
Sure.
And a lot of the things they said as employers that people were lacking was that ability to be able to work with people that were different from them, to view things from different perspectives. So I do think that's really important that we build that in schools. And, you know, what we're talking about is just choice of reading books. We're not even talking here about
sure.
curriculum.
Yes.
And we want kids to be able to seek out books that are in their interest areas
right.
and that they can learn from other perspectives.
Sure. Well, we also talk about there's all these worker shortages, and a lot of them are in these, like, skilled trades.
Mm-hmm.
And, and not everybody has to go to a 4-year college, and nor should they if they excel at a certain skill set and want to pursue that. And we need more yep. electricians. We need more iron workers. We need more people that that basically build the world around us.
Yep. Yep.
And so how do you rate the school district on that in terms of the vocational trades and
that's a good question. I actually combed through the website, and, you know, I've lived here for a long time. I taught here briefly, and I'm sure, like all schools, there are some things that they have. I know they have a program, it's called MADE, but there's not a lot about it. Like, my kid's going to be a freshman next year. He'll sure. be at South, and I don't know how to access that program. So for me, that rates the school a little lower when it's hard to know how to engage in those
right,
things
right.
for my kids.
Sure, sure.
And I do think there are other schools that are doing more with that, getting kids out, experiencing things at WCTC
Terrific.
Or with industry.
We're going to continue this conversation with school board candidates Angelique Byrne, Stephanie Fidlin, focusing on vocational advancement, and so much more. My guest next week is school board candidate Anthony Zenobia, and the following week, entrepreneur Dr. Daytona Crebo, here on This Week in Waukesha, WAFM 40 AM, 101.1 FM.
The Shaw, WAUK.
The outdoor season is almost upon us, and adventure is waiting. So let Prosser's Premium RV LA take care of all your RV needs, with 114 units on sale and unbeatable prices. And if you missed them at the Milwaukee RV Show, don't worry, the sale continues through Saturday. From travel trailers to folding campers, teardrops to motorhomes, fifth wheels to truck campers, Prosser's has you covered, and with easy financing too. Head to 13815 Let's Be Your Road in Sturtevant, or log on to theprosserrv.com and kickstart the season today.
Nightline with Pete Schwaba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwaba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Shaw, W-A-U-K, Waukesha's home for Matt and Air on Air.
This is Downtown Dining Round. This week in Waukesha, on this beautiful Saturday morning, March 9th, beautiful sunny morning, a little chilly, but it's a good chilly. And it's been a great winter. I was upset about the rain yesterday, but you know, you can't really complain when it's been pretty mild, except for that one rough week in, or a couple days in January when we lost our power. But hey, I mentioned my daughter Jordan's birthday earlier. I also want to wish Waukesha firefighter Mark Schrader a happy birthday. Mark was on about a month ago, and as many of you know, Mark and a lot of the firefighters in the union have organized a fundraiser for Mark's daughter, Mary, who was diagnosed with leukemia right before Thanksgiving. And they had a very successful event called Melodies for Mary a couple Saturdays ago that not only did they exceed their $5,000 goal, I guess they doubled it. But, you know, the financial need is still there, as many of you could imagine. And so we encourage everyone to support Mark and his family. Just pop on over to the any of the fire stations and are asked to look for Lieutenant Dan Notling or Assistant Chief Joe Hoffman. And, Mario, I hope you're having a wonderful birthday with your family and, give our best, especially to your beautiful daughter, Mary. We're all with her. Fight like a bear. And here in residence at the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown, my legal counsel, James Santella, has just walked in. His show, Morning Cannolis, is next. And so it's great. Jim's been traveling last couple weeks, spreading the Civic Media mission around the state. I know he got to go all the way up north for that big fest, the Burka Fest, up there in, Amory or something? It was way up north. And then he was in Madison, I believe, last week. So glad to have Jim here, and it looks like he's brought gifts for my guests. So always a wonderful thing. So, but we were talking, we wanted to finish this conversation about what the school district is doing or could be doing to promote the vocations, the trades for our young people, since there's so many opportunities and opportunities to make great livings too, and stay local.
I think there's so many great opportunities that Waukesha, the school district, has. Programs that I don't feel like we advertise very well. You know, we don't talk ourselves up. Even as a parent in the district, Angelique said, there's a lot of programs that exist that I didn't even know about that were opportunities. So, as we've gotten deeper, because you stay in your own little bubble. I know about my kids' elementary school, my kids' middle school. I don't always know everything going across the
district.
Can be
myopic at times, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But now, now being in this role and running for this position, I've made it my business to get to know, all parts of the district. And I thought, wow, I didn't even know we had that. So, sure. I think that's really important, and we need to do more to communicate that to families, because again, those are those opportunities that we have that we need to expand upon so that we can get kids staying enrolled in our schools and not losing them to other programs in other districts. So, and that helps with the declining enrollment. So.
Terrific. Yep. And there's great career opportunities in radio, too, so be sure to check the Civic Media website. I think we may be hiring here at WAUK Radio. There's a few spots. Johnny nodded affirmatively, so great opportunity. Civic Media Mission is doing some wonderful things with local radio stations around the state, and we're really focusing on local news and, the things that really matter to us that you don't often hear in, the current, with television or other media, where it seems to have either a political slant or it's focused on the celebrities. We were driving to Fish Fry, and I mentioned to my wife, my daughter, and her girlfriend that I thought I read somewhere, and I said that Travis and Taylor broke up, and they were like, who? They were thinking it was like some of my, and I was like, Travis, Kelsey, and Taylor Swift, America's favorite couple. Yeah. And they're like, no, they were at this concert recently. That's not true. And they had the full skinny, but the fact that I didn't say their surnames, I guess, kind of warmed the cockles of my heart. Like, okay, these guys are really focused. So instead they thought it was like two different parents or two different people in our daughter's softball club that were having an inappropriate relationship. Like, no, that's not, that is not what I'm talking about.
But yes, there's so much opportunity here. We want to hear your stories too. So not just your calls, but if you've got a great story to tell, I want to have you on the show. If it's about Waukesha and you or someone you love and their contributions, that's really important to us. And really quick too, I want to give a shout out, a thank you to Mayor Sean Riley for doing a mayoral proclamation at the last city council meeting for the Waukesha Fusion North-South combined boys volleyball team that won the sectional, won a share of the Classic 8, toughest conference in the state for volleyball, won the sectional championship, and then went all the way to state competition, falling one game short of the state final, I believe, and a remarkable feat. And the fact that these young men could be honored at City Hall in front of the mayor and in front of our city council, as well as those in attendance, I think that's a wonderful thing that our city government does. And same thing, if your children have, you know, anyone you love has made a remarkable feat, call the mayor's office if you think it's noteworthy of a proclamation. And that's another way to get young people engaged with the city government and maybe you want to participate. And it was great for me to be there to reconnect. I saw Christina Tofty, owner of Tofty's Tables and Seaming Cup, and she attends as many meetings as she can, and she stays informed as a local business owner and a mother and a citizen on what's going on here. And I encourage other local business owners and residents to do the same. And you can, if you can't be there in person, you can, as Greg mentioned, that you can catch it on video on through our new technologies. So, and I also had an opportunity to meet our new city administrator, Tony Brown, Anthony Brown, really nice gentleman. And I told him that once he had his sea legs, I'd love to have him on the show, and he's agreed to that. So we look forward to having Tony on maybe sometime later in the spring or in the summer. And then I also saw Assistant Fire Chief Joe Hoffman, and he's assured me that outgoing Chief Steve Howard will be a guest on our show in April. We'll certainly honor him and his many years of service to our city. So much to look forward to here in our city. But returning with my guest, Angelique Byrne and Stephanie Fidlin, what haven't we covered yet that you want people to know about your campaign?
I think a big piece is attracting and retaining teachers. And we kind of mentioned it, but didn't really talk about it.
Sure.
Over the last 2 years, those numbers were about double the consistent trend before that.
Okay.
So I think that's important.
Resignations. Yeah.
Resignations and retirements together. So I think it's really important that we're thinking about, like, what's the culture that we're building, not only for students and families in the community, but also for teachers and wanting teachers to stay here. You know, education's a small world. I know a lot of people who work here, and there are a lot of teachers who have concerns. And I think that the school district's not doing a good job of hearing everybody. I think as a parent, I don't remember getting a survey at all the last couple years. And those school perception surveys are typically all your stakeholders. They're going out to your teachers,
sure,
your communities. So I think we need to do a better job of listening to everyone and then figuring out together how do we make our schools really great, and then how do we keep our students and our teachers here.
Yeah.
And I think, like, you know, as they've moved towards the curriculum that's very, you know, unified and lockstep, there are some benefits to that. But the piece that's been lost in that is the autonomy for the teachers. You know, I think about as a nurse, you know, when I treat a patient, it's not one size fits all.
Right.
You know, if there's something I'm doing that needs to be individualized, I can change my care within certain, you know, protocols to provide individualized care for that person. And the way that the curriculum is kind of moving, it's there. The teachers don't have that flexibility anymore. They can't bring in like supplemental materials and things like that. So if a sure. student's, you know, they're teaching lesson and a student's not getting it, they can't bring in supplemental no. materials. So.
We've got more with school board candidates Angelique Byrne, Stephanie Fidlin, plus some more local news, some big news from our local high schools, including a couple bowling teams that did really well in state competition. Here in This Week in Waukesha, WUK and the Civic Media app.
Dear one, the world is waiting for the sunrise. Every little rosebud is covered with dew.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief, hours before a midnight deadline.
The yeas are 75, the nays are 22, the motion is agreed to.
The U.S. Senate approved a budget package to keep the government open. Both the current president and the former president are hitting the campaign trail today in the battleground state of Georgia. Yale historian David Blight says this is
the beginning of a very brutal and direct confrontational campaign between Biden and Trump.
The Georgia primary is Tuesday. The EU is planning on sending aid to Gaza through a maritime corridor. Jovita Nelishpina is with the EU's ambassador to the U.S.
It's not only once in a time, but it's a sustainable way to provide aid for the people in Gaza and Palestine to make sure that we alleviate, ease the situation in the region.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
Bucks lose in L.A. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Lakers were without LeBron James due to a sore ankle, but still managed to beat the Bucks 123-122. Milwaukee's Damian Lillard's shot blocked at the buzzer. Coverage on ESPN.
He'll come off a Giannis screen and get it near midcourt with 5 seconds. Lillard, step back, blocked by Dinwiddie. Loose ball. And now two straight losses for the Bucks after winning six in a row out of the All-Star break.
College hockey. The Badgers men's team fell 3-1 to Ohio State in the Big Ten tournament. Game two tonight, 6 p.m. at the Kohl Center. Up in Minnesota, the Badgers women's team with a win over the Gophers, 4-3 in overtime.
Now a wraparound attempt. Rebound attempt.
Coverage on the Big Ten Network with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, highs in the low 40s with a chance of rain and snow. For tonight, partly cloudy and a low near 29. Sunshine, mid-40s on your Sunday. Mid-50s on Monday with sunshine. For Tuesday, partly sunny, we push into the upper 50s.
Right now, it's 28.
Why choose Weichert Realtors? Because your community is our community. We're your neighbors, your students, your chefs, your soldiers, your builders, your actors, your musicians, and your radio personalities. We love this city as much as you do, and that's why we want to help you live your best life here. Because we are your realtors. Call us today and let us help you find your next home. 608-821-7002 or visit Weichert-LakePoint.com. Weichert Realtors Lake Point, a home for all.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now? Is to take a Kringle and go away.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, the loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
It's calling in. My heart is calling you.
You're listening to This Week Waukesha. I'm your host, Downtown Donnie Brown.
coming to you live and local from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown. I'm joined by Johnny on the board, my resident counsel, James Santel, who has blessed us with some delicious pastries. Thanks again, Jim, and looking forward to morning cannolis next. We are taking your calls, and apologies for the number we gave earlier. The correct number is 414-441-2941. That's 414-441-2941. My guests again are Angelique Byrne and Stephanie Fidlin, candidates for the Waukesha School Board. And we have a caller, a familiar name, Mary Jane. Mary Jane, what's on your mind? Bear with a second while we connect you.
Calling about.
Hey, Mary Jane. Hey, we just got you on. Start over again. Sorry about that.
Oh, there we go. Okay, I said top of the morning to you.
Top of the morning.
To everyone.
All right.
Good morning.
Yes. I did want to tell a little bit about the auto class that was at Waukesha South. My daughter had an old car. And that was gifted to her, and she didn't like it. But we got her into the auto class, and all of the other guys that were in the class loved her car because it was a 72 Buick Skylark. And they just said, well, we wish it would have been a two-door instead of a four-door. But anyways, that started her, piqued her interest in doing auto, and she actually took a class at WCTC for auto body. And she pursued that career in snow plowing and in seal coating and asphalt. And now she's the owner of a very, very successful women-owned road construction company. And she does work for the DOT. She's going on, just won a contract with Georgia. She does all of Wisconsin, Utah, Illinois, all over, because she went to the trades. Now, mind you, she also has a degree in history and literature, which is completely opposite. So she read a lot of books. She's a bookworm, but she's
well-rounded.
Very much a hands-on person.
Thanks for sharing, Mary Jane.
Yeah, thank you. That's wonderful. Actually, that's the class my son is most excited about, hopefully taking in high school. We went and toured South just recently. And it's really exciting that they still have that program. And it's wonderful she was able to go over to WCTC and access their program, because I know in autos today, so much is more modern and electronic. So it's really important that we're figuring out ways to get our kids from the programs here at the high school and then over at WCTC to see that industry standard.
Sounds great. Now, is your son going to South?
As you can, yeah, okay. My son will be at South.
Fantastic.
Yeah, he's still deciding. He's signed up for the Engineering Academy, but he's not totally sold yet. So.
Yeah, my daughter's going into the Engineering Academy too. So is I believe, if I remember correctly, I don't think there are many South parents on the school board. Is that correct? Or there might be one?
Yeah, I don't think anyone's kids go to South as far as I know.
So, that would be good. I know Kelly Piazek is a North parent, and I think all the rest are West parents, but again, I could be wrong, but it seems like historically South has not been that well represented on the board.
Yeah, that's probably true.
So, and I think, you know, that would be good policy. I would think that there's representation from equal representation from each of the three high schools.
Yeah, I think that is an interesting thought, because I do know that because of the way our city is divided and where people choose to send their kids, sometimes there's issues even with like PTOs at that elementary level of having, you know, kind of the equal access and voices from all of our schools. And I think that's something that, again, we could do a better job as a district of reaching people and making sure that we are including everyone. And if it's a financial burden in some schools, making sure we're finding ways to support all the different programming in similar ways.
Terrific. Mary Jane, thanks for the call. Do you have any questions for our candidates? Or a question?
Can you hear me?
Yep. We're good.
Oh, okay. I do have a statement. I have a statement to make. My son went to the Engineering Academy and then went on to Madison for engineering and eventually economics. And when he came out, nowhere along the way did they teach them the skills of accounting or Excel spreadsheets. And so I made him take a class because he needed that in, you know, his current job. So sometimes you know, we don't think about the application. We learn all the theories, but, you know, there needs to be some practice in place. And that's part of the hands-on with learning. Some people are audio and visual or, you know, tactile, so we have to take that into consideration in teaching our children. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Janie. I'm really glad you brought that up because, you know, they say, like, we only use 10% of our brains. It's really true with Excel and Word, even like Word, that we're most of us are only proficient in like 10% of it. And is that something you could perceive in our schools, maybe in the grade schools where we're teaching Excel proficiency or some of these other basic software proficiencies for our youth?
Yeah, I think it's figuring out where it is the right fit. I know you can do a lot of stuff with spreadsheets in math. You know, there's a lot of things that could be integrated more than just keeping here's our I think here we do integrated 1, 2, and then algebra 2, but keeping that all isolated. But how can we show that practical application and then bringing it all together? And that's actually something dear to my heart that I worked in personalized learning, which ended up to be a lot more application of skills for about 15 years. And I think that's something we should be infusing everywhere. And going back to the curriculum piece, that is one of my fears. I'm an instructional coach, so I do know you need great foundational curriculum. And today, I think with all the teacher turnover, you do need some things that are common. But if it's too locked in, it doesn't allow us the room for that application and the more innovation and partnerships that we can build with our community. Because if every teacher is supposed to be on this unit on this day and this assessment on this day, it doesn't allow you that flexibility.
Sure.
So I hope that that's something we could focus on.
Sure. Well, and I think just making sure that we're staying with the technology. Technology is moving so fast right now that by the time we get curriculum created, there are programs that are probably being used in jobs that, you know, that this is outdated technology. So they may come out of school, you know, knowing how to use, let's say, Excel spreadsheets or something. And then they get into the workforce and they say, we don't use those, you know, like it's so we need to be moving with that technology and staying ahead of it, you know.
Yep. You know, and switching gears for a moment, it seems like they're teaching a lot of bowling in our schools because our Waukesha North girls bowling team finished second in state competition. They competed in 15 games, earning a second seed, and then missed the state championship by one pin. So congratulations on an amazing season, an amazing effort. And then on the other side of town, Waukesha West boys bowling team finished third at state, and they also had a tournament high game of 299. So congratulations to both teams. And, you know, I think it's safe to say, especially with some of the transitioning for South and North, that the sports programs are moving in the right direction and they're an important part of the educational piece. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think it's interesting that you talk about bowling because I think it's, you know, it's a trending new extracurricular in schools. And reflecting on that, I think it's because it's accessible. You know, it's maybe not like baseball where you had to be in it when you were little in a club sport and you needed to be, you know, well-trained before you get to high school.
Yeah.
I think it's really great that we have more options like that for kids so they can engage in things when they get to the high school level or whenever in their schools.
And what about the grade school level, too?
Yeah.
I'd like to see more of that.
Yes.
Like, I remember when I goes to, whenever Waukesha South is playing Waukesha North, I see my good friend Al Alt. His grandson's a heck of an athlete. And he coached girls basketball at Banting Elementary years ago. He'd coached other teams and schools, but there was a time when each of these middle schools and grade schools had kind of their own teams or their own programs. And I think we've gone so far away towards this $17 billion youth sports industry that it really cuts out so many people. I call it the new Jim Crow, to be honest. But that's why it'd be, you know, great to see our school district have a stronger relationship with our Parks and Rec, with our city leadership. It seems like it's off on an island, and which I think it's, I don't want to point fingers, but I think there's so many opportunities for engagement and for development of our community with school. I mean, there's a basketball court between Banting and Horning Middle School that the Parks Department has offered to come in and renovate it, make it, you know, like beautiful. And it's, there, I think there was like a flat out, I don't know this for sure, but the school district hasn't been very responsive to that. And those are shared assets. Those are community assets. And so I don't understand why we don't have stronger partnerships with the other aspects of our city, especially our Parks and Rec.
I'm a huge fan of our Parks and Rec program. I think we've got a lot going on. I'd love to see it, expanded upon, especially with the youth sports. because it has moved towards private and club and things like that, which is fantastic. But at the same time, for accessibility, not every kid can afford to play private club sports. So it would be great to see those Parks and Rec programs expanded, and just the partnerships between the school district and things like businesses, Parks and Rec program, all the great things that are already going on in our city. If we could just continue and strengthen those bonds and those connections, it's all just going to create more synergy for our schools and our community. So.
Sure.
Yeah, and I think the loss of some of those after-school programming is really a loss for our community because it does create a division. You know, you have haves and have-nots, the kids who can afford to go or can get a ride there at 6 o'clock at night or whatever that barrier is, where when it used to be at the school, you just stayed after school and it was accessible, it was free or cheap. So, yeah, I think it would be great if we could build more after-school programming to engage kids in, especially at those lower levels.
Sure. You know, and it seems like our performing arts programs are seemingly formidable, when you look at the marching bands and you look at the different plays. Like, I know North just did a recent Elvis-themed operetta that was fantastic. It was very well-reviewed. And South and West. And what can we do to continue to promote and expand all those different programs that get young people interested?
Yeah, I think that's a great question.
Life-building skills.
And when we talked about attracting and retaining teachers, one of the areas we saw one of the biggest turnovers actually was in specialists and special ed. Mm-hmm. But some of the reasons is because we it's touted we have the lowest mill rates, but we also know that.
What do you mean by mill rates? I'm sorry.
So it has to do with your taxes, how much we tax people to pay for our schools.
Right.
And nobody wants high taxes. But there's also consequences to those. So what used to be maybe two full-time music jobs is now one, and teachers are stretched. So I have a lot of friends who are in the in the music and arts, and it's hard to keep up with some of those after school commitments and to keep making it great if we're stretching our staff further and further. So I think to support all those things, we have to look at what do those teachers' jobs look like? What are the expectations? And then how can we expect people to do more? So it's not just bringing outside people in, because to build those programs, you want it to be from within your schools.
And the arts is so important. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, a part of academics is the arts. And for some kids is, you know, when they're young, those are their favorite classes. And those are what make school exciting and a place they want to go. And so, you know, but if you can have that engagement, you know, then everything else can start to click, you know. And so I think that, you know, the pieces of the nuts and bolts, you know, reading, math, that stuff's important. Obviously, that's why they're in school. But we don't want to lose the arts piece. You don't want to have so much of that at the expense of, you know, the specialties, music, arts, you know, that those are no longer important. You want to engage the whole student in their whole mind, because that's what opens you up to, you know, to all the great things that you'll go on to do in your future. So,
yeah. Okay. We're taking your calls here on This Week in Waukesha, 414-441-2941. That's 414-441-2941. And if you're listening to us on the radio, don't forget to download the Civic Media app. You can take it with you everywhere you go. So much great programming throughout the different stations we have around the state, as well as here in our WAUK. And if you haven't, also be sure to check out the new Maggie Dawn show that's on Monday through Friday. Great show. And hats off to Maggie and Stuart J. Waddles, who covered the State of the Union for us on Thursday night. That was great, great radio coverage. And so we're very grateful to have so many great, a deep bench of talents here in Walk Radio and Civic Media. So much more to talk about here with Stephanie Fidlin, I'll say the names mixed up, and Angelique Byrne, our candidates for school district. And don't forget Anthony Zenobia, incumbent for re-election, is my guest next week. And then the following week, I have Dr. Daytona Crebo, a young chiropractor with a great story to tell. And hopefully we'll have a couple other entrepreneurs to join in. So I hope you're enjoying this beautiful Saturday morning. And again, the conversation continues with Stephanie Fidlin, Angelique Byrne, candidates for Waukesha School Board, here on This Week in Waukesha on WAUK, 540 a.m., 101 FM, The Show.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Brown. Johnny Watermelon on the board here in the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown. Here in the WAUK studios. And my guests this morning have been Angelique Byrne and Stephanie Fidlin. And we have about, like I said, in this final part of the show, what would you say is your platform? Like, what I know we talked about this earlier, but, I guess we talk more about your backgrounds, but for this, like, what is your platform? Why should people vote for you? Starting with Stephanie.
Okay.
For school board.
Why should people vote for me? I think that public schools is near and dear to my heart. I'm a supporter of public schools. I'm a supporter of our teachers. I'm a parent. I'm an engaged parent. I'm in, heavily involved in school and PTO and supporting our schools that way. And so I just feel like people should vote for me because I would be an advocate for teachers, families, students, and just getting back to academic performance. Focusing on, how we can get back to strong academics and bring up the scores of our district, but also, scores are one piece, but bring the whole kid along. We want kids that feel supported, whether it's their mental health, their physical needs. We look at some of the truancy rates and things like that. What are the barriers? And we want to address some of those barriers so that we can get kids in school where they feel that they're being educated and that they're being engaged, in all parts of them. We talk about the humanities, the arts, sports, all these lovely things that are happening. We want the whole kid in there, and we want that to be a place where, where they're feeling positive and successful, and then going on from there and becoming productive members of our community, and the beat goes on, and our community goes on. So I would want to be part of that, to be an advocate for that, and I think that's very important.
Sounds great. And really quick before we get to Angelique, Steph, how do you feel your experiences as a PTO parent give you a unique advantage as a school board member?
So PTO, I think that it gives you a chance. I've worked with so many different families. We don't all agree all the time. We come at it with different viewpoints. But as a team, we work together. And we've done a ton of fundraising. I know at Summit View, we built the inclusive playground, so it was a lot of fundraising, and so creating partnerships with businesses and things like that to do those fundraises. Obviously, parents, have donated a lot, and grants and just all the crazy things. It took years to raise those money to make that inclusive playground, and it's great. But
where's that playground at again?
At Summit View Elementary.
Okay,
so, yeah.
Fantastic.
But this was collaboration and working together. And then good communication with parents and families, whether that's that an event is coming or what the funds are being used for, being transparent about where it's all going. So
terrific. Okay, Angelique, your turn.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things is communication. How are we all working together? How is the district communicating with us? How are we engaging parents, students, and teachers in the larger community to communicate with the district so we can work together? I think that's the path forward. Is building those partnerships to be really strong. I think another piece is really thinking about we are meeting expectations on the DPI school report card, which is the lowest in Waukesha County. And it's easy to say, but we're a bigger district or we have a different demographic. But I don't see that as a reason to stop there and to celebrate. But instead, why aren't we reaching all of those kids? How are we really digging down into that data of who are the kids that need support? Are they transient to our district? And are there things we need to address there? Are they English as a second language? And what do we need to address there? Yeah. Is it that they're part of a different culture that's not the majority here? And do we need to address things? And how are we engaging those families to be able to support every kid? Because those are our future leaders, our future workers. I think another piece is really thinking about what do our kids need after they leave us and then working backwards. So when we're looking at like the job report, there's many key things there that we could be looking at of what our students need to be prepared for. Sure. And then what are the ways we can do that in step with a great curriculum.
Terrific. And I want to switch gears for a moment here. Another announcement from the city is the Public Works Department is preparing for this year's construction projects, which include 15 street reconstruction projects, 5 storm sewer and sanitary sewer projects, 12 park improvement projects, Yay. And 11 other projects such as sidewalk replacement, lighting, and traffic and signal improvements. And I wanted to mention when I was at City Hall the other night, I gave public comment. I was there to celebrate the volleyball team, but also to bring attention to Hillcrest Park. There was an initial effort to restore some of that metal framework and create like a pavilion for like concerts and special events, weddings, if you will, but also an outdoor Cold War museum experience. And so I really want to push for that because that park basically is stagnant and there's so much opportunity. It's one of the highest points in the city, and the next phase will eventually be making that viewing tower safe for people to go up. And you know, once those are completed, I think we're going to have a major attraction for the area that's going to attract special events and parties and just more people to Waukesha. So I encourage you to take a look at the city website and these projects and see if Hillcrest Park is one of those included. And just pay attention to what's going on, maybe the parks in your area and some of these other projects that affect you. So back with Stephanie and with, Angelique Byrne, Stephanie Fitt. I got a lot of multimedia going on here. So in our final couple minutes, we got your elevator pitches. What do you think are some of your, I guess, keys to victory moving forward? Or what should people be paying attention to with regards to your campaigns?
I think that personally, we're pushing Just Vote for Two. Just vote for Angelique and I. If you agree with us as candidates, the best opportunity for us to be your representatives on the board is to just vote for two. You can vote for up to three, but we're asking you to just use two of those votes and vote for Angelique and I.
And I think the other piece is just reach out to us. You know, it's a lot easier to have a conversation. A lot of people email me and say, what's your stance on this? And then I ask, can we have a phone call? Because I think, you know, being able to work through those conversations. So just getting to talk to as many people as we can to come together.
Yeah. I mean, yeah,
sounds great.
We're accessible. So reach out.
Terrific.
I will always respond.
So. Angelique Byrne, Stephanie Fidlin, candidates for school board. Thanks so much for joining me on this beautiful Saturday morning. Don't forget, folks, the community tile project is taking place for the parade memorial. Starts at 10 o'clock. Remember, my guests next week are incumbents Anthony Zenobia, and just found out Kelly Piazek will also be my guest on next Saturday and This Week in Waukesha. I hope you all have a wonderful weekend. And please remember, safety is everyone's responsibility. And Johnny, can you help me with this? And see ya!
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Hey everybody, Todd Allball here. Noon to 2 on Monday, we'll help you recover from daylight saving time and take a look back at the happenings from the weekend right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The outdoor season is almost upon us, and adventure is waiting. So let Prosser's Premium RV Outlet take care of all your RV needs, with 114 units on sale and unbeatable prices. And if you missed them at the Milwaukee RV Show, don't worry, the sale continues through Saturday. From travel trailers to folding campers, teardrops to motorhomes, fifth wheels to truck campers, Prosser's has you covered, and with easy financing too. Head to 13815 Let's Beer Road in Sturtevant, or log on to theprosserrv.com and kickstart the season today.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Upside.
I'm Stacey Lynn.